Everyone, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we find ourselves in thy house with the assurance of thy presence amongst us. And we pause to thank thee for this opportunity, for thy presence here amongst us as we look into thy word and meditate upon it. We ask, O Lord, a blessing upon each one of us, that far away, removed be the thoughts of this life aside, but the focus would be on Jesus Christ, on thee, Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, that thou, Lord, would bring the truths of salvation unto each of our hearts, O Lord, that we feel thy power as we look into thy word in this afternoon. We ask a blessing upon each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, for the first portion of our reading this afternoon, with God's help, I'd like to turn to the book of Revelation and read chapter 3, the first six verses. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, the first six verses. And unto the angel, bratia, sestre, želim pročita sa Božom pomoću iz Otkrivenja, treća glava, prvi šest brojeva. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And for our second portion, dear ones, I'd like to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. Which knjige? A po drugi put želim da se pročita iz druge knjige Mojsijove, iz 33. glave početak od 12. broj. I'd like to begin with verse number 12 to the end. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. May God bless our readings, and let us kneel before him in prayer.
Our great God and our Father in heaven, as we would approach thy holy throne, we would pray for grace to pray, and that thou be gracious and hear our prayer as we would offer it unto thee. Father, we know thee to be a good God. Father, we have experienced that, and that has been, Lord, that which we have felt from thee, and we have thee to thank, Lord. And so we give thee the honor and give thee the glory, and would come before thee reverently and with a spirit of humility, and recognizing that we are but dust, and to dust we shall return. And Father, we would be foolish to think of ourselves as something greater than that, O God. So we just pray thee, Lord, that we would be whom thou wouldst have us to be, a people who love thee, a people who desire to serve thee in uprightness and in truth, a people who would desire to live in the Spirit, Lord, glorifying thy name and being whom thou wouldst have us to be, Lord, for thy purposes and building thy kingdom here upon this earth. Father, for we look to a time, Lord, as we have read this afternoon, Father, a time where we will be with thee in all eternity, where our names would be written in thy book of life, and where we will be in thy presence and glorifying thee. Lord, as Moses has only seen thy back parts, Father, we look to a time when we will be in thy presence throughout all eternity, that we will stand in thy orb of light, and we will behold thee, and we will be with thee forever and forever and forever. Father, for this we look for, and we desire, Lord, to be there. We pray thee that in the time that would come between now and then, Father, that we would be overcomers, that we would walk in a way that would be well-pleasing unto thee, obedient hearts, Lord, and in thy service, dear God. Lord, where we fail and where we don't get it quite right, Father, we would ask thee that thou wouldst forgive us and that thou wouldst show us where we have erred in our way, and that we would have that grace from thee above to repent and to turn to thee, Lord, and to confess our erring, our sin, and to walk again, Lord, in a way that would please thee well. Father, this is our prayer and our desire. And so we would just pray for each and every one that is gathered here this afternoon. Father, bless this body of believers. Lord, we look to thee in all things. Father, we need thee every step of the way. Father, we would be overwhelmed with that which this life would bring our way in all that's said and done. Father, we would be overwhelmed if we couldn't look to thee and have thee to be our rock and our stay. Lord, we pray thee that thou would be the object of our faith, that we would have the confidence in thee in all things, Father, knowing that thou wilt help, thou wilt provide, thou wilt do all things according to thy will, and we would do well to leave our lives into thy hands. And so we just pray thee now that as the afternoon message would go forth, Lord, that thou wouldst bless our brother as he would bring it forth. Lord, give unto us attentive ears and hearts, and may not the infirmities of this flesh inhibit a blessing from thy word this afternoon. So we give thee thanks, we give thee praise, be thou lifted up. These things we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Dear ones, in this past midweek service, we read and focused upon the being a light in the world. Jesus Christ said, He is the light. And Jesus Christ said, You are the light. And a verse that was read and mostly skimmed over was that we should serve God, be this light, so that others may see our works, and that man would see our good works and do what? Glorify God. Well, the brother in the benediction, Brother John, came up then and he brought that verse actually to more light. Why? So that others may glorify God. Why are you the light? So that others may glorify God. And I thought about that in the last few days, so that others may glorify God. I thought of it more deeply. And that, so when we see that, what is our purpose is really here on life, in this life. Christianity, Christians, those who serve the Lord in truth and in spirit, are the ones who point the nations to the answer, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, once someone knows who Jesus is, he glorifies him. And so we have to ask ourselves, really, what is, when we pray, how are our prayers? What are our prayers like? I know, oftentimes, my prayer is about me. And I become so focused on me that by the time I'm done praying for me, I don't have any energy to pray for you and the church and the glory of God. That the glory of God would not be lost among his people, but that ultimately he would be glorified. And so when we approach him, we approach him even perhaps hesitantly, because the consciousness of who we are comes to us when we are in this blazing light, when Jesus reveals who he is, who the Father is in him. He reveals the Father in himself, and we are seeing who God is. It's the only image that we have of God the Father is the Son. We look at him and we know who the Father is now. Otherwise, we have no way of knowing him. So we have to look to Jesus. And Brother John brought that out in this morning. He closed with it in a very powerful closing statement of look to Jesus for everything. Because if we look to our own selves, if we look to one another, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. And so even in our prayers, we fail because our focus is on ourselves. And oftentimes, we almost want to beg and plead and keep pleading with the Lord, despite my sins, please hear me. And we forget that we are told by the Apostle Paul how we are to approach the throne. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. First he says, let us hold fast our profession, for we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He goes, so now he says, so let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Dear ones, when we open his word and we are now exposed to light and truth and Christ and purity, the holiness that is found here, it is in such manner that we have to actually fall prostrate at his feet and say, we have to realize that we are unworthy, we are nothings. But he says, don't come to me and stay in that way. He says, come to me boldly. Why? Because you have an advocate. You have an intercessor. You have the high priest, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He has shed his blood, and through his blood, your sins are forgiven, and you can come boldly unto me and approach me boldly. And oftentimes we will only focus on me and my sin and nothing else. And then when I get up in the next morning, I am going to continue my day the way I ended it. Because I know tonight I'm going to really pray earnestly again for me and my sins. And surely God hears some of that, right? Well, what we read in Revelations chapter 3 and what we read in the book of Exodus is something different than what we will convince ourselves is good enough. We see here a call by none other than the Lord himself, who is looking upon a church that he has not written off. He didn't say, "I have removed your name." He said, "But in the state that you are in, you will be removed." So what does he tell? Tell the church. What does he tell me and you today? In the blazing light of the gospel, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, as you look at yourself and you see sin in your life, and you see that a change needs to take place, he said, repent. Change. Because if you don't, one is you will not bring anyone to the Lord. Isn't the church mocked today? The church, his church, the Lord Jesus' church, is mocked today by the world. Why? When the church is mocked, that means God is mocked. When God is mocked, the church is mocked, and every individual in the church is mocked. Why? The same reason as what was going on in the times of Moses that we read. What was taking place there? The people of God who carried the name of God. They were his people. And the nations heard that, and the nations knew that. And yet, they're going to be looked at as the God that is above all gods. These are his people. These are the people who recognize his holiness, his purity, his greatness. Timothy, or Paul in Timothy, speaks of an unapproachable light. An unapproachable light. Do we think of Jesus Christ as an unapproachable light? As someone who in his holiness and purity is so far between me and my thoughts and who he is and who he is calling us to be. You have the mind of Christ, he is telling us. You have the mind of Christ. There is a battle going on today for our minds, so that we would not have his mind. Think about it. Don't think that, that doesn't work with me. These subliminal messages, all these things that are buzzing around me has no effect on me. You're deceiving yourself. All you got to do is go look at a billboard that you pass by and you see some McDonald's fresh French fries or a hamburger that is made to look so delicious. If you're hungry, suddenly your mind is saying, "That's what I want. That's what I want." They capture your mind. I'm just talking about something that is obvious to us, to all of us. We've seen advertisements and things that take our focus and they drill it into you. This is what you want. This is what you need. This is what you want. This is what you need. And suddenly you say, "Man, I'm craving this stuff." They just keep dropping it on. Don't think for a moment that there is nothing that this world can put in your thoughts, in your mind, and you can toy with it, play with it, and say, "No problem. I'm not going to give in. I'm just observing, flirting with it, with these ideas and so on." But no, I'm not going to get into this pursuit of the wealth and the glitter and the lusts and the different things that are capturing, battling for our minds. Subliminal messages that are dropped, things that we don't even know we see or hear. We see them and we hear them, and it approaches and it gets into our subconscious, and we're brought to these things, dropping things into our minds, into our subconsciouses. These are the things that we battle. These are the things. The world is seeking to capture our mind so that we can become enslaved to the world. We saw a man this morning A man that was captured by the devil, by the demons. What do I have to do with you, Jesus? What do I have to do? And Jesus never allowed a devil to testify of him and who he is. He never accepted that testimony, the testimony of the devils. We find in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul, who was empowered over demons and death itself, as he brought others to life through the power that was in him, Jesus Christ. He had the power over these things, not himself. It was the power that was within him. We see when he was, it said that people were taking handkerchiefs and aprons from him and giving it to the people, and they were healed of all their diseases and so on. And the Jews looking on and saying, I want that. Everybody wants the power. Everybody wants that. Don't kid yourself if you think you don't want the power. Everybody wants the power, and the Jews looking on saying, that's what I want. And so they're gonna become these exorcists, and they tell a demon possessed man for the devil to get out from him. The demon looks at him and he says, I adjure thee by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to get out. The demon looks at him and says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, you? Who are you? I don't know you. Brothers and sisters, do we go into a world that is in darkness and proclaim a light? Proclaim that we are lights, and they look at us and say, you? Who are you? I've heard who God is. I've heard who the Lord Jesus, but you, who are you? You cheat, you steal, you cuss, you this, you, who are you? I don't know you. And so, we have the people of Israel who, in their travelings through the wilderness, under God's direction and hand and power, turned to a golden image, a calf. And God said, I will wipe you out. He tells Moses, out of you I will make another nation. How many of us would have said, yeah, Lord, I understand. Okay. I'll do what you say. I will make of you, you. You're going to be the leader. And I'm going to make out of you a great nation. The meekest of men, Moses, known for his meekness, says, Lord, no, no. If you're going to wipe out this people, blot my name out also. That's an intercessory prayer. But Moses had to be shown that, no, you cannot be an atonement. You can't be the atonement for the people. There's only one who can atone for our sins and who can give forgiveness. There's only one, and that is found in Jesus Christ. None other name. There's no other name under heaven which one can be saved. And so, Moses is shown. And he says, don't take us if you're not going to go with us. Go with us. Otherwise, I don't want to go anywhere. If your presence isn't with me, I don't want to go anywhere. And he asked him, he goes, show me thy glory. We read that. He says, show me thy glory. He's praying for the people. He's interceding for the people. He says, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Again, what is it? It's ultimately for the glory of God that Moses is praying. I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider, this nation is thy people. And I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We know that
the Lord has revealed himself to Moses. He saw him in the burning bush. But he wanted to see his glory. And the Lord says, you can't see my glory and live. Flesh, me, you, Moses, and any other man cannot see the glory of God. What does that tell us of who he is? Paul says he is an unapproachable light. You want to dismiss the holiness of God, his purity, his splendor and beauty? Are we going to make light of or just not really dwell on it? Moses wanted to see his glory, and he was told, you can't see my glory. You won't live. Flesh will be overwhelmed and overcome. It cannot live. Cannot live. The overwhelming of the senses will be such that you will simply die. That's the unapproachable light. And the brother prayed that we would approach him in spirit. That in spirit, we can look at these verses and what Jesus is calling from us, a repentance, a coming back to him. And he says, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away mine hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Dear ones, the angels in heaven have seen the glory of the Lord. And they have sinned. The angels who, the demons, as we read of this morning, demons have departed, and there is no remission of sins for them. Because you and I only see through a glass darkly now, and the Lord understands our frame. He says he was just like us, except in his temptations, he never sinned. And so he is approachable. He is approachable. And we can come to him boldly. And we can seek him. And we can find him. And Jesus has a message for the church. He says, thou hast a name that thou livest. Do you, my brother, have the name of a Christian? I am a Christian. You have a name that you're alive. And he says, but you're dead. Is he speaking directly to me, to you, to you, to you, all of us? We all know that. We all know who he's speaking to. We can deflect and we can imagine what we want, but the Lord is saying, I know thy works. And you have a name that you're alive and you're dead. So he says, be watchful now and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die also. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. What's the first thing flesh will say to flesh? You know, none of us are perfect. No one is perfect. And so, that's just our frame. That's how we are made. But he says, remember what thou hast received. What did we receive? Remember what you have heard. What did we hear? And hold fast and repent. We have received the Holy Spirit of God. We have heard of his glory. Ultimately, dear ones, your purpose and mine is to glorify him. Does your life and my life glorify God? Remember what thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I'll come upon thee. He said, there are a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Why are they worthy? Because they did something great. They've been redeemed and washed by the precious and atoning blood of the Lamb. That which they have received, the power from on high. What did the apostles, when the Holy Spirit came upon them like a mighty rushing wind? Okay, we're going to say, well, that was Pentecost. Well, that can happen every moment you open His Word. The consciousness of the Holy Spirit of God can come upon me at that very moment. And these things that I read, He can change me. Those things which are lacking, He can strengthen them right now. Right here and now. He can do it. I have to want it. One, I have to want it. I have to recognize that this light is unapproachable by humankind. That if I want something, this flesh has to die in order to see that glory. That to live in that light, to display that light, I cannot live. I cannot live. My will has to go by the wayside. It has to die. So that I may show forth and bring forth His praises. What did the apostles say when they were beaten and told no more? So the world sought to extinguish that light, shut it down. Because wherever these men went and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, lives were being changed. Thousands were being baptized. And that put fear in the people. People who wanted power and position and so on. And it says, when they were beaten and commanded, don't preach anymore, he says, they were let go. They went in their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. And then they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Thou hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together. Ultimately, what is it? Against the Lord. David recognized that when they were standing up and going against him, they were going against the Lord. And against His Christ. And of a truth, against Thy holy child, Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they were gathered together to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. What did they pray? Grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness, what? They may speak the word. That's it. Grant that I can speak the word with boldness is what the prayer of each one of us should always be. What do I pray? What is our prayer like? By stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by Thy name, by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. So when they prayed, the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Their prayer was answered. Instantly. They didn't wait 10 years for the Holy Spirit to act in your life. When you desire Him and you are convicted, you're not going to have to wait. You don't have to wait 3 years to say, well, Lord, increase my faith. And increase my faith. But I'm going to go and I'm going to display to the world that I have no faith. Lord, increase my faith. And, you know, I prayed. I'm sincere, right? I'm sincere. I prayed it. Job will say which each one of us will, Job has said which each one of us will say when we realize and recognize the holiness, the blazing, unapproachable light, the glory, the purity, the life of Jesus Christ. When we recognize it as Job did, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You don't need weeks. You don't need months and years to change. You need to act upon the convicting power of the Spirit of God through His Word. It's no other way. It's through His Word. He's not going to enlighten anyone in this world today to a point where they can do something extra-biblical for you. It's all in His Word. All the power, all the blazing glory of who He is there for us to see. My eyes have seen. I see who I am now. I see who you are. And I repent. And Jesus says, repent. Repent. He that overcometh. Overcome what? Overcome what? You know. And I know. What we all need to overcome. Why can't I overcome it? Because I do not want to. Let's admit it. Let's admit. The first point of being able to see who we are is to admit that it's what I want, and so let's quit play acting. When we pray, do we pray with the earnestness that the glory, that God would be praised and glorified, that His glory would be seen by a world that lies in darkness, and we are its only light? You're not going to find it anywhere else. It's only in the people, the children of Almighty God. The dear ones, may each of us, with a renewed zeal, what can we call it? I don't even know what to say. A renewed desire. But you have to know who He is first. Otherwise, it'll just be another Sunday. It'll just be another time that we heard the Word. Another time that we read of Jesus warning us. See an example of the times of the Israelites of old. Of things that they went through. They just got done worshiping a golden calf. That's not far from either of any of us to be able to do. Let's not mock them. Let's not laugh at them. Let's not chuckle at them. And let's not look in bewilderment. How could they have done that? Let's ask ourselves, how could I have done that? How could I have acted this way? How did I claim I have the name of Jesus. I know you have a name, He said. You have a name, but you're dead. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. He's speaking to His church. If anything should alarm us, dear ones, it's that. He is speaking to His church. You have a name, that you are alive, and you're dead. Strengthen the things which remain. Repent. Come unto me. That is the message of none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Why? Because we are His creation. He loves us. And He loves the sinner as much as the saint. He doesn't love anyone less. There's nothing you can do that He's going to love you more. There's nothing that you can do that He's going to love you less. He's going to love you because He created you. And He gave His life for you. And He's calling each of us, dear ones, unto Him. We have a name. So, dear ones, through the name that we carry, whenever we step out, wherever we go, our goal is that God would be glorified through me. May He, dear ones, be with us in these very moments when His desire is that we would be convicted and that we would act upon the things that we read in His holy word. May God bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.
We don't want to do this life without Jesus Christ. We want to do this life with Jesus Christ. Just as Moses prayed and said, "Wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us?" How are others going to know that God is with us, or that we are in walking in God? Is that His grace is with us. His grace is with us day by day. We don't want to do life without Christ. We want to do life in Christ. If we look round about us, we will be discouraged. Just as Peter, when he was called out onto the water, and he began walking on the water, but when he looked round about him, he saw the waves and the tempest, and he began to sink. When we look round about us, when we look at the billboards, when we look at media, when we look at the things of this life, our faith will be shaken. But when we look to Jesus Christ, we will have that closeness with Him. We want to do life with Jesus. And when we do that, we will overcome, and we will be clothed in white raiment, and we will stand in God's presence forever and forever. A beautiful, beautiful thought. But our focus always needs to be Jesus. Not on this life, our focus needs to be on Jesus. May God grant us grace thereto. Amen.